Miss Anna. Appreciate that singing. I'm glad today for some young people that are willing to let God use them. I believe this, and I've said it, and I'll say it again. I believe one of the most, if not the most influential people groups in the church are young people. If you get a young person sold out to God, if you get a young person who's willing to say to look forward in all that they have for the rest of their life and say, Lord, whatever you want, if it's what I want, if it's not what I want, Lord, whatever you want is yours. I believe God will bless that, and I believe he honors that, and I thank God for young people that's willing to let God use them. Numbers chapter number 21 this morning, Numbers chapter number 21, be reading from a familiar passage of Scripture, but listen, let me encourage you to do this, or not, just because a passage of Scripture is familiar, don't underestimate its ability and its relevance when God so chooses to use it in a service or in your devotions, just because you've heard it before. Try to listen with a fresh mind and a fresh heart. God's able to speak to hearts today. Numbers chapter 21, and we'll pick up reading in verse number 1. My first pastor, the pastor that we got saved under, my wife and myself, where my ministry began, where all of our family still are, my pastor, his wife was deathly, completely terrified of snakes. And even if someone was going to preach and preach in, out of a passage where snakes were mentioned, she would politely stand up, nod, and go sit in her office. I will warn you today. And there, I will warn you today. I don't like them. I don't even like to talk about them. The thought of touching, handling a snake, it does something on the inside of me. It creates an anxiety. I don't like them. Somebody said the only good snake is a dead snake. They're not even good then. Just the other day, I found one. I was weed eating, and I was trimming around the shed, and something flew out from underneath the shed and landed beside my foot, and nobody was around to see me scream like a young girl and high step and hop and jump back from a snake that was only that long. It was a baby, but I know something about babies. Where there are babies, there must be mamas. And so I jumped back, and the thing I thought, man, is it dead? Is it how dead? No, I just hit it. I just stunned it. So I drug him over on the driveway. It was my every intention to inflict harm and pain to this. Hello? I was fixing to cut his head off, and I did. And when I did, the little head and that much of the body that was attached to it began to squirm and wiggle, and I said, ugh! Can't stand it. It's nasty. I don't like it. It's just weird and gross, and there's something about some kind of animal that slithers around and ain't got no feet and ain't got no legs. It don't come chasing me with no snake. You might see a violent side of me that you've never seen before. I'm not for fighting, but I'm not against it in some situations. Chase me with a snake and find out. No, I'm kidding. Sort of. Maybe. A little bit. I'm not sure, really, to be honest with you, what I would do. In Numbers chapter number 21, we find here again the children of Israel in a conflict. As we enter the chapter, we find, let's just read and let the Bible speak for itself. And when King Arad, the Canaanite, which dwelt in the south, heard that Israel came by way of the spies, then he fought against Israel and took some of them prisoners. And Israel vowed a vow unto the Lord and said, if thou wilt indeed deliver this people into mine hand, then I will utterly destroy their cities. Let me say this just real quickly in passing about the children of Israel, about the nation of Israel. War was no joke. Listen, what they vowed to do, they said, Lord, if you will deliver this people into my hand, into our hand, then we will utterly, absolutely, completely destroy them and their city. So that when they walked away, when they left, there was no standing buildings, there was no standing establishments, there was absolutely nothing. They had destroyed them. You say, preacher, you should not be so graphic or detailed when you're describing the unpleasant things of the Bible. I assure you that we never reach the level of graphic that God does. You realize in the Bibles there's some difficult things and some hard things to swallow, as well as the good things, as well as the easy things. It's all good, but as well as the easy things. And the children of Israel said, Lord, if you will, we will. If you will deliver them, we'll destroy them. And you know what? God did, and they did. So after that situation, you could label them, you could say about them that they were victorious. They had fought an important battle, they had fought a big battle, they had faced an enemy, and they had destroyed them. Listen, it's a good thing to find yourself on the side of victory when fighting the battles with God. It ought to encourage you. You ought to be thankful. We ought to be thankful when we fight battles and when we win, because it don't have to work out that way. They fought the battle and they won. However, in verse number four, and they journeyed. Be careful about victories. Be careful. Listen, the high spots can be dangerous spots in your walk with the Lord. If you're not careful, you will press and press and press. And when you get to the spot where victory is yours, you'll relax and sit down. And it's in those times, sometimes, when the enemy knows you've let your guard down, when the enemy knows you're depending on yesterday's victory, when the enemy knows you're just basking in what God has done yesterday, it's in those times that sometimes the enemy will approach. Watch now. Very next thing God mentions, right after the victory. And they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea, to compass the land of Edom, and the soul of the people was much. Notice that word much, not a little, not some, but the soul of the people was much discouraged. Because of what? Just because of the way. See, there was not the short way to go around Edom, but the king of Edom denied them, said no to them because of some bad blood between Jacob and Esau. He said, you cannot pass, and I will not allow you to pass, and if you do pass, we'll come out against you. And Israel had been warned not to fight, not to turn against Edom at that time, so they had to go the long way around. If anything irritates our society today, it's a long-haul project. We want what we want now. We want it right now. We don't want to wait. We've got to have. Hey, listen, it irritated them that they had to go the long way. People don't mind going the way as long as it's not the long. Hey, listen, it wasn't only the long way, but it was the more difficult route to travel. There were some hard times involved in the journey around Edom. I'm not going to stay here, but I want to say this. Be careful in those hard days that you don't let your discouragement consume and eat you alive, because it will. And be careful that you don't get bitter. Somebody told me this one time. They said, you know what bitterness is? That's you drinking the poison and hoping it kills the person you're bitter against. That makes a lot of sense, don't it? But listen, that's the way we are. We'll go through something difficult with somebody, some kind of conflict, and we'll let bitterness set in our heart. And all the while, they don't even know about it, not bothering them. It's just eating us up. Hey, listen, they were eat up with discouragement. Now, watch what they did. I want to remind you this. This is the nation, this is the children of Israel. They are not that far removed from the Red Sea crossing right out of Egypt. This the same group of people who in their cry for help, God sent a deliverer. This the same group of people that God delivered them out of the land of Egypt. God delivered them against the armies of Pharaoh and the Egyptian armies, and God destroyed that army right in front of their eyes, and they never lifted a hand and they never had to use a weapon because God was on their side. And when they crossed out of Egypt, they crossed the Red Sea, God provided sweet waters out of bitter places, and God provided food when there was no food. And if there wasn't enough when there was no water, God provided water out of a rock. You know that's not natural, right? Water don't come from rocks. But when God's around, when God's on your side, the impossible things become possible. You say, preacher, I can't see how I can make it continuing on. Same way you made it up till now. There's a whole lot of things people have faced before today that they thought would stop them, shut them down, and keep them from moving forward. But here we are. Same God that was able yesterday is the same God that's able today. They got discouraged. They got angry. They got bitter. And here's what they did. Verse number 5, and the people spake against God. The preacher, why'd you quit reading? Two reasons. One, I'm catching my breath. And two, I want that to sink in. The people spake against God. You say, preacher, I'd never do that. A lot of times, not with our lips, but our actions do the very thing. We get down or discouragement. What's the first thing if we're not careful, we'll do? I'm not going to church today. Just don't feel like it. I'm not fast the way they're going to act. I'm just not going to. Hey, listen, be careful in your discouraging hours. Well, if that's the way they're going to do it. Listen, they spake against God. What's the rest of it? And against Moses. That's the way they're going. Be careful what you say in your discouraging moments. In your discouraged moments. Wherefore, here's what they said. Wherefore, or why? What were you thinking? It's a strong word. What were you thinking? Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? Of all that God did, water from a rock, deliverance from the army, and out of Egypt, man, they literally were eating from the hand of God directly every morning. They didn't labor for it. They just went and gathered. And they said, Lord, why did you bring us out? Why are we even here? Listen, here's their complaint. Here's what they complained about. For there is no bread, and there is no water, and our soul loatheth this light bread. They said, we're sick of it. Lord, there's no bread like we had in Egypt. There's no water in abundance like we had in Egypt. And Lord, we're sick. We're literally, it makes us nauseous to think about this manna that we have to eat every day. That's pretty harsh, isn't it? But if we're not careful in our discouraged moments, we'll look around, say, Lord, they got and we don't. I don't have this and I don't have that and I don't have, hey, listen, God has provided for us exactly what he desires for us to have. And they got caught up in what they didn't have that they used to have. And they forgot that they got some things now that they didn't used to have. I wrote down in my notes, put a little star by it and said, newsflash, God doesn't like that. I know that's complex and deep, but that's just the way I am. God doesn't like that. God's not for being ungrateful. As a matter of fact, it's sin. You say, how do you know? Well, most of you know the rest of this story. We're going to read it and we're going to try to preach. I got 2 points, but I've got about 4 or 5 points under those points, and I got about 20 minutes to do it. But most importantly, I pray. You help me pray that God will speak to hearts today. Number one, so what did God do? Number one, I see sovereign judgment. That's right. God has to judge sin. He cannot let it go unpunished. He cannot let it go unnoticed. God must judge sin. You say, what did he do? How did he judge it? Well, look at the next verse. And the Lord sent. They didn't just happen to be there. They didn't just happen upon them. But the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people. Now, I for years, I've struggled with it. Why do they call them fiery serpents? Why not just snakes or serpents, but fiery serpents? And I've done some research, and I figured out that sometimes when you don't know what's going on and you don't understand, neither do the other commentators. One preacher said commentators are just like it sounds. They're just commentators. And so I there's all kinds of reasons that's going on in my mind. Why fiery? So were they on fire? I mean, I've seen some circus acts, and I wonder, were they flame? No, it probably wasn't that. But it was most likely one of two things. Number one, it could have been because of the fiery design, the flamboyant design of color that God arrayed these. I don't even like to think about what they look like. These serpents with a fiery looking or bright and dangerous looking, they called them fiery serpents. Or, and this is what I believe, you don't have to, it's just what I, because it just sounds cooler. Or, because of the effect of the bite, the toxicity. There's my $5 word today. You can write it down and put my name beside it because of the strength and how strong. That's the same thing I said twice. Don't do that when you're speaking in public. Try to avoid. Listen, how strong the poison was. It would cause an overwhelming swelling and inflammation, and you couldn't even recognize the person after a few minutes. You couldn't. Why? Because the poison had taken over the body, and it created a burning effect and a thirsting, a desire for water, an insatiable desire. You could not satisfy or quench the thirst. It's a fiery serpent. I don't know for sure why he called them fiery serpents, but I can rest assured in this, they neither one of them sound good to me. I mean, I'm just simple and common. Ain't neither one of them sound good to me. I don't like snakes alive. I don't like snakes dead. I might even hit somebody if you were to throw a rubber snake at me. I don't know. I'm just kidding. Some people take me too seriously. They're like, He said he was going to hit somebody. Fella told me this a long time ago. He said, hey, you saved? I don't know why, I must have been looking like I was feeling bad. He said, you saved? I said, yeah. He said, tell your face. And he kept on walking. Hey, listen. Who's somebody told me to have fun earlier? Who was it? Brandon? You blame that on Brandon because that was just for fun. What was I saying? What was I saying? Come on, Sean. What was that? You don't. What? Okay. I'm talking about snakes. What was I know you know. Fiery snakes. I don't like. You like? No, I don't like them. Don't. I don't know. Neither one of them sound good to me. But the Bible said he sent them among them. In other words, everywhere they were, it's not something that was happening on the other side of town. This was a universal judgment. This was a judgment. Hey, listen, God hates sin no matter whose it is. And God is no respecter of persons. God doesn't look and judge and grade people like we do sometimes. He doesn't look on the outward appearance and say, well, I'll let this sin go, but I'm going to judge this. Listen, he hates sin altogether. And he sent the fiery serpents among them everywhere they went. When they woke up in the morning, there was the serpents. When they went out to gather the manna, there was the serpents. When they went to the well or went to find water, there was the serpents. I've thought about everyday activities with these Israelites. There was babies being born, and there was the serpents, and there was little kids coming to mama, and there was the serpents, and there was burials, there was grave sites, and there was the serpents. They were among them in every facet. I need a yellow line right here. Every facet of their life. You could see that it was among them. Hey, listen. You say, preacher, what's the relevance of this to us? Because you know what? Without application, I mean, what does it mean for us? God's going to judge sin one day. He can't let your sin go unpunished. And you may keep thinking that it's something way off in the future, and by then I'll get it taken care of. By then he'll forget about it. By then it'll no longer be important. But I got news for you. God help us right here. I got news for you. People who die without being born again. You say, I can see some people. There you go, preacher. People who die without ever being born again. You have to pay the price for your sin. And hell for eternity is the judgment. I'm gonna read or just mention a few things about this judgment, about these fiery serpents. Number one, it was unsettling. You think about it. You know what? One of the best things I enjoy as a husband, as a father, as just, I like to go home when everything is in order, and I like to go home and we sit down to a peaceful, you worked hard, you sit down to a peaceful evening with my family. Amen? That's nice. Go somewhere, amen, on a vacation or get away or for a day or a week, whatever, and we get, and you just, just relax. There's no relaxing when your life is eat up with the judgment of God. There's no relaxing when you're suffering from an infestation of fiery serpents. How many of you believe? How many of you ever had a mouse in your? You say, preacher, I don't know if I believe that. How many of you ever had a mouse in your house? Lay down at night. And of all the places that mouse could be, it's right up over your bedroom ceiling. And you can hear him gnawing. And I thought to myself, I'm going to burn this house down if I have to kill that one mouse. Not this one. Good. Not this one. I'm thinking of another house that I used to. when I first got, I thought, man, after about a week of this, I've done looked for him. I'm fixing to load my shotgun. I worked hard. I went to school. I did my homework. And I laid down and I just want to go to sleep. And it seemed like that tiny little noise, it drove me nuts. I don't know, one or two, it might have been 10, I don't know. But up in my attic, there were, and you know what I thought, I was thinking about as I was studying this? That's nothing. You imagine? Mama's carrying babies around and scared to set it down. Mama's opening or going into another room and scared of what's in. Everywhere you go and everything you do is constantly unsettling. I'm trying to hurry. I want to tell you a funny story because I think it might make you laugh. I was in Florida one time. I might have already told this. If I did, just act like you didn't hear. I have the memory of a goldfish. About every 8 seconds, it resets. When it swims around the tank, it only remembers it's done. And that's about the way my mind operates. But I was in Florida one time preaching. I think I did tell this, but I'm going to tell it. It's a good one. I was in a prophet's chamber, and the fella said, here goes the prophet's chamber. I was by myself. My wife, we had three children, four. We got four, but I'm trying. While we were on deputation, I didn't forget how many I had. I'm just trying to remember what was going on in my life when we, down in Florida, and I got in there. And I then drove all the way from South Carolina to Florida, and I sat there. He said, the sheets and blankets are in the closet, and there's the bed, and there's a cat, the whole house to yourself. I sat down. I was going to study that evening. Had the lights on. It was bright. I didn't know where I was and didn't. And I sat down, and when I sat down, out from behind the trash can came this 3.5-pound cockroach. This joker looked like a chihuahua. My mama's dog wasn't as big as this cockroach. And when he approached me, I couldn't quite make out what he was saying. But he raised up on his back legs. And at that point, I knew I was in his seat. I said, good night. What in the world do you have you done put me in? This thing looked like a chihuahua dog, but it was a cockroach. I'd never seen nothing like it. And for 2 days, me and that cockroach went back and forth over whose chair that was. And finally, I slept for an entire week just like this, sitting straight up in the chair. I didn't go lay down in the bed. I was afraid they would tote me off. I slept sitting straight up just like this. I just kept looking. And finally, after about 3 days or so, I had enough. And I looked over on the wall, and there was a couple of boat paddles. You know how people would take stuff and paint them? And they was kind of crossed, and had a little one of them life free, and they had this little, it was in Florida, so they had some kind of beach decorations. And that thing come out from behind the trash can again. I said, that's it. I grabbed one of them boat paddles and I beat him to death and I throwed him in the trash can. And when he hit the bottom of that metal trash can, it sounded like I tossed him in a ball bearing and it said ding. That's how big it was. And all of a sudden, his brother came out from behind the trash can. I ain't even making this up. I told her I've tried my best to never, ever, ever when somebody does something for me to complain about it. But I told that preacher, I said, hey, man. He said, how was your stay? I said, this is my opportunity. How was your stay after a week of not being able to sleep and sitting up straight? I said, man, I got to tell you something. There's some cockroaches in there that tried to take my seat. And I slept all week sitting up in the chair. Do something about that. He said, oh, brother, I'm sorry. I said, me too. Big nasty thing. Come at what are you saying? I'm saying when there's an when there's an infestation, there ain't no peace. They know, you say, preacher, I might die and go to hell, but just leave me alone. I'll be fine. There ain't no peace in hell. There's a constant. You say, preacher, I'm going to tell you, that was just for a few days, and it was kind of funny. After the fact, that's one of the things where I was thinking, today's test or tomorrow's testimonies. And man, I'm telling you, y'all laughing at my expense, but that's all right. I thought that week, man, I couldn't get no rest. I couldn't get no peace. I couldn't sit down. I got to move on. I'll get hung up and preach here. We'll just laugh till 12:30. You know what hell's going to be? There is no happiness and peace and relaxing in hell. I said that to be a little funny, but to prove a point, to explain something, there's no relaxing. There's no peace. There's no joy. There's no happiness. When God judges sin, there's only fear and anxiety in the sense of loss, in the sense of dread. It's only bad continually, forever. Not a week. Not a month, not a year, but forever. See, they sinned and God sent judgment. And this judgment was for real. It was an unsettling judgment. Every aspect, every facet of their life was affected. And number two, it was fatal. If you were bitten, they had nothing, no power within themselves to heal, to be healed from this bite, this venomous bite. There's no power. And listen, I want to say this to you. I know people. I've seen people. I've watched family members of my own. Remember asking my dad's sister one time. We called her Meemaw. I don't know if that's just a Southern thing, but I had a... Anyway, I said, Meemaw, I said, you know how to get saved? She said, yeah, you got to live right. Let me say this to you, and I say this with all sincerity. You can't live right enough. There's no balance in scales. You can't overcome your sin with good behavior. You're not looking to get out on parole. You're looking to be exonerated or pardoned. You can't outweigh your sin. Once you're guilty of sin, and we all are, the Bible says for all have sinned. My grandmother told me one time, she said, yeah, but my sins are small. I said, now here's a better one. We called her Muddy. My cousin, he was the oldest, he tried to call her mother, and it came out mutter, and it evolved into muddy, and it stuck. I said, Muddy, there's no size. It's not big or small sins. It's just sin. And the wages of sin is death. See, the judgment is fatal, and it's final. But it was also productive. See, it was God, everything God does is on purpose. His judgment was productive. You say, what in the world could judgment produce? Well, I'll show you what it produced. Number one, it produced a sinking into humility. You know what they, can you actually imagine God's people whom he delivered looking at him and say, what are you doing? Why have you brought us to this place of difficulty and discouragement and hardship? How could you do this to us? It's an awful, proud place to get. How could you allow my life to be this difficult and hard? It's an awful, proud. But you say, but preacher, you don't understand what I know. I don't maybe understand what you're going through. But let me say this, you may not understand what I've been through. I'm not trying to go tit for tat with, I'm not trying to go back and forth. I'm simply saying nobody knows what everybody else's battles are. But they looked at God and they said, what are you, that's an awful proud place to be. But when God's judgment began to take effect, when those snakes, listen, when bodies started piling up, when babies started dying and spouses began to die and friends and loved ones fell victim to the judgment of God, and they watched their loved ones go through the excruciating death of being poisoned by a snake. I never been snake bit, but I got bit once by a black widow. And I'm telling you, it flows through your body and it takes over, and pain is unbearable. And I've been told that when someone dies of snake bite, of the venom, from the venom of a snake, it's a controlling, it's a contorting, their bodies are twisted with pain. And listen, when they watch that, they said, oh no. They went from a place in their heart of pride and thinking they were somebody that could even tell God. They sunk low. You say, how do you know they sunk low? Well, who'd they talk about? They spoke against God and they spoke against Moses. Man, I got just a few. My preacher usually finishes at 1 o'clock, right? They had to humble themselves to go to Moses. I'm gonna hurry. But listen quick, and I'll preach quick. They had to humble themselves to go to Moses. Number two, it produced a seeking. They went looking when it got real in their lives. They went looking to find. Well, we need help. Number three, it produced. What did it produce? Number three, it produced a showing of honesty. They said, "We have sinned." Let me say this real quick. Business will not, does not pick up between you and God as long as you are not honest with God about what you are and who you are, and as long as you are not honest to yourself. As long as you're not honest with God about your sin, and you're not, listen, it's going to stay the way it is. By the way, no sense in lying to God about your sin and my sin. He already knows the truth. That was point number one. Point number two, and I'm moving quickly, was God's simple plan. Moses went to God. They said, Moses, you pray for us. And Moses prayed for the people. And God told Moses, you take a serpent and place it or set it on a pole, and it shall come to pass when someone is bitten, or when someone is bitten, if they will look and behold the serpent, they shall be healed. And so Moses did it. He made the serpent of brass, which speaks of judgment. He made the serpent, and listen, he lifted it up. You say, preacher, I don't see where he lifted it up in this passage. No, but Jesus said, if I be lifted up as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness. Listen, young preachers, and myself included, if we'll obey God in our ministry will be worth repeating. Jesus told of Moses' ministry in the wilderness way out in the New Testament. It was lifted up. That plan was a strange plan. You say, you shouldn't say that. That's God's plan. God said that about his own plan. He said, the preaching of the cross is foolishness unto them which do not believe. What he said? Doesn't make sense. It's not logical. You mean to tell me that sin is destroying my life and there's a penalty for sin, and what you want me to do is just come down here and call on a God that I can't see and I can't touch and I can't feel and I can't hear? That's exactly right. Although I can hear him, and occasionally I can feel him. It seems to be a strange plan. Can you imagine telling these people as they're watching their loved ones curl up and die because they've been bitten by snakes? Well, here, listen, this is all you have to do. If you'll just turn and look. There's no healing power in looking. There's no healing power. There's no poison stopping power in looking at a piece of brass on a pole. There's nothing in that. There's no magic power in that pole or that serpent. No, but if you'll obey God, if you'll obey God and do what He said to do, if you will stop and turn from your way and look to God's way, and in faith, believe what He said would work will work, then you'll be healed. He said, preacher, what's the relevance of this story? See, the Old Testament is the New Testament concealed, and the New Testament is the Old Testament revealed. In the Old Testament, we find the cross and Christ concealed in shadows and types. In the New Testament, we see Him revealed and open for the world to see. See, what does this mean for me? Listen, we said this already this morning, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death. Thank God for the rest of the verse. But the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. See, there really is judgment for sin. But God really does have a simple plan. And the simple plan is this. If you'll stop where you are and you'll turn to Christ. See that serpent on that pole? It speaks of sin judged and judgment lifted up. And it speaks of Christ being lifted up. If you'll stop in your way and look God's way. If in faith you will trust that God said He would save those who would do that, then you too can be healed. You too can be saved. And no judgment you'll have to face. See, he provided a simple plan. You can't get dunked in the water enough, or you can't attend service enough, or you can't give to others enough, or you can't do it. You must, to try to receive or attain salvation by any other way than what God provided is nothing but pride. And we all have tried at some time. We say, well, I'll just do this, I'll do this. Do you know that you're rejecting God's plan and God's Son when you say or you think, you entertain the thought that you can achieve it through some other way? It's through Christ and Christ alone. You must turn and look. I like this. Oh, help me, I'm closing my Bible. A serpent was put on a pole and it was lifted up. You know why it was lifted up? You know why it was exalted? Why it was lifted up? That way, no matter where you are in the camp, no matter where you were, you could see it from no matter where you are. I like the song Miss Jarrett sang this morning. You're never too broken. You're never too far gone that you can't see, you can't turn to Christ and be saved. Hey, listen, you say, preacher, He don't want me. He, you're exactly who He came for. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. He came for sinners. And then there was the preaching of it. I won't preach that, but I'm going to tell you, I'm just going to. You said, preacher, where do you see preaching? Well, good news is good if you know about it. Even though the plan was in place and the serpent was on a pole and lifted up, if you didn't know about it, it didn't help you any. So they had to devise a plan to spread that good news throughout the camp so that people knew if they got bit what to do. You say, preacher, what are you doing? Everybody look up here, still preaching. Preacher, what are you doing? I'm just trying to spread the good news that no matter where you are, no matter how lost, how broken, how distraught your life might be, if you'll turn to Him, He'll save you. If you'll turn to Him, He'll forgive you. If you'll turn to Him, He'll cleanse you. And if you'll turn to Him, He'll give you a home forever with Him in paradise. Let's stand with our heads bowed and eyes closed. I trust that God spoke to hearts this morning. We sure have had a good time, but I don't want that to be what you go away with. I want you to go away with this, that there is a plan in place. The plan is the person. The plan is the Christ. The plan is the Lord. If you'll turn, if you'll look and live, if you'll repent of your sin, if you'll call on Him in faith, you can be saved this morning, this afternoon. As they play, as they sing, if God spoke to your heart, the altars are open. If you'd like to come and pray for someone in your family or or a loved one or a friend that's not saved, or you'd like to, whatever you need, if God spoke to your heart, you come ahead.